Hello, 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 and welcome to Degree of Difficulty. My name is Aaron Johnson. I appreciate you rocking with me wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of that good stuff. Make sure to subscribe, share, and rate us 5 stars. Goes a long way and helps me continue to do what I love to do. So a bunch of things I want to get into because it is a Wednesday. And normally I like to have guests on Wednesday and kind of keep things, you know, keep things light and keep things really focused on those interviews that I'm able to do. But things worked out a little weirdly this week. So I'm not going to have a guest on today. I'm going to have a guest on tomorrow. And I'm going to talk a little bit about who that guest is later on at the end of this podcast. But I'm going to touch on things that I probably would have touched on I'm going to do the podcast, I should say, the way I would normally do it on like a Monday, where I'm just kind of shooting the crap and talking about the stuff I really want to talk about. And then tomorrow we're going to have our guests. Friday we're going to round out the week. So going to be a triple header coming here for Degree of Difficulty and myself. You know, I'm young. I can do it. I can feel the shoulders, feel the weight on my shoulders. So, but I want to start things off today talking a little bit about the top sports story, at least one of the top sports stories that came out today, was the NFL partnering with Sean Carter. For all you guys that are not hip-hop heads or, you know, just live under a rock and don't know who Sean Carter is, I am talking, of course, about Mr. Jay-Z himself. They're going to be partnering on a halftime entertainment social justice initiative. I was reading a story written in the Washington Post by Mark Maskey. I hope I'm saying that right. But yeah, no, it's and a lot of people have kind of come out and not condemned Jay-Z, because you can't cancel Jay-Z at all. Cancel culture is, you know, stupid, but that's another, it's another topic for another podcast. But you can't condemn, people are condemning Jay-Z, I should say, because of how Jay-Z was when it came to the Colin Kaepernick situation, and when it came to, you know, kneeling during the national anthem and standing up. And I said Jay-Z was one of Colin Kaepernick's biggest advocates when everything was going down, when Kaepernick was getting blacklisted by the owners in the NFL, when he was kneeling for social justice and against police brutality. And, you know, that whole thing that went down, and, you know, Kaepernick got his money at the end of the day. Although I've been on record several times saying he's never going to play another down in the National Football League. And I still truly believe that Colin Kaepernick is never going to play another down in the National Football League. I 100% believe that. And he, you know, I think if it comes down to social justice, he wouldn't have a problem with that. But Jay-Z is going to be partnering with the NFL on this. And like I said, there's been a lot of backlash coming in for Jay-Z because they're like, people are saying, oh, well, you stood up for Kaepernick. How can you go ahead and do this now? And what's wrong with you, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, Jay-Z is not an idiot. He's a smart guy. So reading the story here, an excerpt from the, like I said, the story from the Washington Post, Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z's company, will choose entertainers who will promote, who will perform in televised NFL promotional spots throughout the season. Jay-Z's quoted in the story saying that, you know, quote, I think we have autonomy. I anticipate that there will be a lot of with any big organization in this building right here. We have internal problems. Anything that's new is going to go through its growing pains. We put what we want to do on the table. The NFL agreed to it. So we're going to proceed with that as if we have a partnership, end quote. So the partnership is going to be set up. Jay-Z went on to say that he believes Roc Nation will have freedom under the partnership to produce the kind of entertainment that it wants. And so that's the first thing that kind of piques my interest there, because not only when it comes to the Super Bowl halftime, because, you know, Super Bowl halftime for the most part has kind of dulled down. I think like the last really great performance that was there was, you know, Bruno Mars, Beyonce, Prince from, you know, years before that, when they were down in Miami, I want to say. I think that was the Bears-Colts Super Bowl. But they, other than that, there really has not been a lot of great, great performances at the Super Bowl. And I think viewership during that time, I can check the stats on that, but I think viewership around that time really, you know, has gone down, because I don't think people are excited for that. So partnering with Jay-Z, the NFL probably is looking for a path to get that back up and to really get the Super Bowl halftime show up to the you know, the big show that it used to be. So, and Roger Goodell was quoted, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was quoted in the story as well, said that, quote, he was very quick to say that he does not want this to be about him performing, talking about Jay-Z, that it was broader than that. It's quickly went beyond that. Do I hope he'll perform in the Super Bowl sometime in the next several years? Yes, but I think we'll all know if that time comes, he'll know in particular, end quote. And so one of the big things with this, too, was that Jay-Z, I believe, was one of the names that was floated around to do the halftime show last year. But again, being the big advocate for Colin Kaepernick, and seeing how Kaepernick was basically being blackballed by everyone in the NFL, Jay-Z went ahead and said, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Along with, I know Rihanna was very outspoken as also saying, like, no, I'm good. I don't want to delve into this. So I also have no issue with Jay-Z partnering with the NFL because Jay-Z, like I said before, is a very smart man. You know, everything he does for a reason. And I know that I was reading that during the press conference that he had today with Goodell. They were asking a bunch of questions about Kaepernick and some of the things that have gone on down in Miami with Kenny Stills and the owner of the Dolphins down there throwing a big rally for Trump. And so there's just a lot of moving pieces with this. But Jay-Z is somebody that I think can not only handle all the stuff that's getting thrown, you know, positively and negatively at his way, but also there is a sound reason for this. He's proven it several times over when it comes to him getting, you know, putting himself in positions like this. It's a business decision at the end of the day. Yes, there's going to be an emphasis on social justice and an emphasis on some of the other, you know, positive initiative things that are going on in the NFL. And I think that Jay-Z being at the forefront of that is a great thing. But to see him kind of get lambasted today was a bit surprising to me. It really was, because this guy is, you know, he said it himself. I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. And everything that he has done over, especially over the last, you know, 2 years, if, you know, even further back than that, has shown the fact that he is a businessman. And he's doing this from the standpoint of it is a business decision for him. And I got no problems with it because I think a lot of good can come out of it. I think we're going to get some really great shows at the Super Bowls going forward, especially this year. I also think that when it comes to the way that things are going to be looked at from the NFL's point of view, it's good to kind of have another person in the room that has differing opinions from, you know, everyone else, that from the majority in the room. And I think that's what he's going to bring. He's going to bring to the table, you know, a voice and a very loud voice, because, you know, he's Jay-Z, a very loud voice when it comes to this entertainment thing, that he's going to be able to garner some kind of respect when he goes into these meetings and he goes into these conversations. And I cannot believe that he's going to be, you know, the NFL's lackey in some way. Jay-Z would never put himself in a position where he's going to be somebody else's lackey. That's just not a thing. I don't care if you're the NFL. I don't care if you're, you know, if you're the NBA, if you're MLB baseball. I don't care who you are. He's not going to put himself in a position where he's anybody's lackey. So he's going to have the authority to do what he wants to do with Roc Nation and in, you know, involving some of these initiatives that he's going forward and doing, especially when it comes to the halftime show. I'm actually kind of excited for the halftime show now, because I think the halftime show has some potential behind it where it can, you know, come back up to being that huge spectacle that it's always built itself to be. And I said, even ever since the whole, you know, wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake, it's really seemed like the NFL has been so conservative of how they've done certain things. Yes, the Beyonce performance probably would be the silver lining to that, or the exception, I should say, to that, because of, you know, there was a lot of symbolism to the Black Panthers and a lot of, you know, symbolism to women's rights. And so that was a little bit more out of sorts for the NFL. It was a little bit less conservative than we've seen the NFL do, especially, like I said, since the wardrobe malfunction scandal. I mean, I was a kid, bro. I don't even remember watching. Like, I didn't watch the halftime show then. I barely watch it now, but I definitely didn't watch it then. And I remember that was one of my favorite Super Bowls, even though the Patriots won, because I believe that was the Patriots and the Panthers. And that was one of my favorite Super Bowls, even though the Patriots won, like I said. But I didn't remember anything. The only thing I remember was because we had a Super Bowl party at our house, and a couple of the kids that I went to school with, a couple of the kids my brothers went to school with, they were there. And I remember when one of the guys that was at our house that was getting picked up, his sister, who was in my brother's class and like a year younger than me, was like, "Oh my gosh, did you see Mrs. Johnson? Did you see what happened on the show, on the halftime show?" And they were like, "Oh yeah." And like my mom and all of like the moms were talking about it, but I didn't know what was going on. I actually didn't find out what was happening for like another like day and a half. But you know, that's kind of how, you know, we got YouTube. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up, because that is legitimately how YouTube was created. The guys that created YouTube, that's how the wardrobe malfunction, Super Bowl, YouTube. It all happened. It's crazy. But I digress. I really do think that this is going to be a good move for Jay-Z, and I do think it'll be a step in the right direction for the NFL. Now, the NFL does a lot of things that are very hypocritical. When they, you know, they're preaching one thing, but then, you know, all these owners are old white billionaires, so they're going to do another. But if this isn't about saving face, and the only reason why I say this is not about saving face is because Jay-Z's tacked his name onto this. Sean Carter is not going to tack his name onto something that is about saving face. It's not going to be about making change and actually doing something positive. And I think the NFL is smart in the sense that they went ahead and joined up with Jay-Z with this. They partnered with Jay-Z on this because he's a name that is immediately going to draw attention, that is immediately going to draw buzz. And he doesn't even have to do the halftime show. I don't expect him to do the halftime show this year as far as performing is. But, you know, maybe he performs in the next couple years. He brings on a great show this year, and it starts to steamroll from there. But he's not going to – this is a good move for him, and it is a solid move for the NFL to try and take progressive steps forward, even if they don't really mean it. The second thing I wanted to touch on today, and it was funny to me the way it kind of broke down here, because I was on Twitter when I saw this. I said, I feel like I get a lot of my stories from Twitter. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I feel like I do. I'm on Twitter. Twitter's like how the people used to read the newspaper back in the day. They wake up in the morning, they get the newspaper, and boom, not knocking newspapers. I got a degree in journalism. I used to work at newspapers, so not knocking it. But I do get my – I wake up in the morning, I flip open my phone – or open, wow. I flip my phone over, and yeah, I look at Twitter, I open it up, I check the trending topics and everything, I go from there. One of the trending topics for me was the word the, T-H-E, was trending. And I remember thinking, I was like, why is the trending? Come to find out that one of my favorite, I can say safely, it's my favorite college football team. I can safely say Ohio State is my favorite college football team. Now, Ohio State was in the news for trying to get a trademark on the word the. And when I saw this, I started laughing. My immediate reaction was I just started laughing. And I said, this is the dumbest thing I'm going to see today. I did. I don't know if it's the dumbest thing I've seen today. You know, it's only about 6:30, so we still got time. But it was. I said to myself, I was like, this is going to be the dumbest thing I see today. And so, as I start to read into the story a little bit more, the whole premise behind it is Ohio State, as a university, has gone ahead and filed for trademarking the word the with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. The reason for them doing this is because they have a line of T-shirts and hats and everything that they want to go ahead and sell. Now, that already has opened a whole can of worms right there, for several different reasons, simply because, you know, when you try and sell something and, you know, the NFL, the college football players aren't getting a portion of it, that opens, again, another time for another podcast. But I got a quote here from a story that was in Yahoo Sports. Ohio State University spokesman Chris Davey confirmed the trademark request and gave a statement to the Columbus Dispatch. Quote, like other institutions, Ohio State works to vigorously protect the university's brand and trademarks. These assets hold significant value, which benefits our students and faculty and the broader community by supporting our core academic mission of teaching and research. end quote. That is a load of crap. I love Ohio State. I do. I love Ohio State football. I'll put it like that. I'm a big Buckeye fan, but that's a load of crap. It's a load of crap. I mean, they're just trying to make money. That's and they're not trying to make money just for that's the cloak that the NCAA always hides behind. And I'm going to get into another NCAA story after this. But no, that's the cloak that the NCAA hides behind when it comes to stuff like this. And universities in the NCAA hide behind. You know, we're trying to do this to better our education. That's a load of crap. It's a load of crap. It's a load of crap. Ohio State is doing this so they can make money. That is it. That's not trying to better the education experience or trying to, you know, it's to make money. Cha-ching. That's all they do with stuff like this. It blew my mind. It really, truly did. So they filed for this on August 8th. So they filed for this a little less than a week ago. And again, T-shirts and hats is really what they're looking for. And I went back and I saw what some of these T-shirts and hats look like. And the T-shirt made me just like everything about this is just ridiculous. So the T-shirt is literally just it's a red Ohio State T-shirt, and it just has the words "the" slapped across the front of it with the Ohio State underneath it. Now, the reason why, you know, the Ohio State is a thing, and I don't think this is the only way that's come up, because I believe even when they like play games, Ohio State has the Ohio State when they do like the commercials that show the university. The Ohio State University was something I remember when they do on NBC now, when they do Sunday Night Football. It used to be on ABC when they did Monday Night Football, when the guys in the pros in the NFL say, you know, what college you went to. And it was always, you know, if you went to the University of Miami, it was, the U. Ed Reed from the U. Ray Lewis from the U. Jonathan Vilma from the U. Willis McGahee from the U. If you did Ohio State, it was, you know, Will Smith from the Ohio State University. Maurice Claret from the Ohio State University. You know, it was stuff like that changed it a little bit. That made sure that you said the Ohio State University. It was like one of those like trademark things. I'm not gonna say unspoken, because I'm pretty sure these guys talked about it. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, the Ohio State University. So for them to try and trademark the word "the," it's just dumb. It was just dumb, and I laughed at it. I laughed at it for probably a lot longer than I should have laughed at it. I'll put it that way, because I mean, you can't the pure audacity that some of these college teams have and some of these college universities, I should say that some of those universities have, it's just mind-blowing to me sometimes. It truly is. It is mind-blowing to me. Like, the audacity for them to step up and say, you know, let's go ahead and let's just try and trademark the word "the" just so we can do this. And I found Josh Gerben on Twitter. Josh Gerben is a trademark attorney. And he posted a quick video on Twitter talking a little bit about this. And it was funny the way he even broke it down. And he actually put in the tweet, "Not sure how the U will feel about this." And he broke down the analysis. And he even said, he was like, the chances of this getting through the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, very slim. It's most likely going to be rejected. Now, he did say that they have a very good chance of not very good chance, but they also can go ahead and resubmit the proposal after making some changes. But if the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office goes ahead and gives Ohio State the say so, the trademark for the word "the," it is the dumbest thing that you will see, because that stuff is going to be plastered all over everything. The T-shirt, the hat, the socks. Get out of here with that. Absolutely ridiculous. Another thing I wanted to really break down, and I took some time before I jumped into this whole Rich Paul thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Rich Paul is one of the super agents in the National Basketball Association. Huge super agent in the NBA. He is signed, I believe, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, I want to say like Draymond Green is signed with him too. A couple other really big name players, like elite players in the NBA, are signed with Rich Paul. And recently, the NCAA came out with the quote unquote Rich Paul rule, which basically said if you're going to talk with college players, prospective college players dipping their toe into the NBA, guys that were coming out of college and say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and see what I can do here, see what my status can be at the next level. But I still would like to come back to college if it's not good. Guys do that all the time. We've had guys that, you know, will go to the NBA, you know, scouting combines and certain things, talk to some of these teams and be like, you know, we still think you need to improve your game. They'll be like, all right, cool. Thank you for the critique. I'm going to go back to college, get my stuff together, and then I'll come back out a year later. And so I believe the NCAA changed the rule now where guys can actually, you know, hire agents to help that process along a little bit better, because apparently there had been issues with guys, you know, trying to dip the toe in but not being able to learn as much or see as much because they don't have an agent. So now the NCAA changes that rule that you can have an agent. Now, when they changed that rule, they also implemented a few other rules, one of which was for the agents to be able to talk with and potentially sign with some of these players, they have to have a college degree, which Rich Paul does not have. Now, the NCAA has since gone ahead and taken and backtracked on this. They did this probably within the last day or so, I believe. They backtracked on this. They took away the rule. And this is after backlash from LeBron James, Rich Paul, other players in the NBA. Kevin Hart even came out and said something about this. I mean, Rich Paul wrote an op-ed piece in the Atlantic that he talked a little bit about, you know, how really ludicrous the rule was. And a lot of people have come out and said the rule's not really going to affect Rich Paul. Rich Paul has his guys. It's going to affect the guy that's coming out behind Rich Paul. And I believe, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I believe one of the quotes that Rich Paul said in the article was, you know, how's a college degree going to prove the difference between a quality agent and a con artist? I mean, there's so many different, you know, social, political aspects to the story coming from the big bag NCAA. But, you know, for them to change the rule, at least, you know, will stifle some of that backlash. Although the NCAA has always been what everyone knew the NCAA, you know, has, like, they've always been true to their colors. Like, they're not some, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing. They're the wolf. You will see the NCAA coming. They are the wolf. That is not surprising anybody. But at least they took this rule back. And I mean, I was listening to a couple podcasts on this. I was reading a couple stuff on this as well. And one of the things that made me think about it, which was true, was something that Bomani Jones said on the Right Time podcast. He said this a couple, I want to say it wasn't this past issue, but the past episode, the episode before. But he talked about it. And he said, Rich Paul is not looking for the cats that are trying to dip their toe into the NBA. And it's the truth. Rich Paul signing, you know, the Zion Williamsons, RJ Barrett, the John Morans of the world. You know you're going to be in the NBA. You know you're going to be a high lottery pick. Rich Paul's the guy you go to. The issue with, you know, implementing a rule like that, and it really is just a, you know, we don't like you, we're going to keep you out. It was a rule that is steeped in trying to make this as exclusive as it can be because we do not like you. And I also think that it didn't help the fact that, you know, the NCAA has never been a big fan of LeBron James and the whole LeBron James, Rich Paul friendship and not partnership, but he is his agent. Also stems with that too. And the funny thing was, I didn't even know how Rich Paul and LeBron James met each other. I had to read up on that because I had heard Rich Paul's name thrown out a bunch of times. I had heard Rich, especially around the LeBron James trying to get everybody on the Lakers team kicked off or traded, quote unquote, for Anthony Davis. And Rich Paul was there and he was Anthony Davis's agent. He's making all this noise. And Rich Paul, Rich Paul, Rich Paul, that name kept coming up. So I found out that he and LeBron James met at an Ohio airport back when LeBron was first in the league. I don't remember what year it was, but when he was, you know, still on his first go-round with Cleveland, they met in an airport in Ohio. I believe the story goes that Paul was selling some type of either you know, memorabilia or sneakers or shirt. He was selling something out of his trunk. Somehow, some way, LeBron James and him get to talking. They start chopping it up. Bomb, bada, boom. And now, you know, they've been friends and, you know, close business partners on a lot of ventures going forward. And one of these ventures also happens to lead Rich Paul into, you know, being a sports agent. And he's doggone good at what he does. He's really good. And now, for people to take, you know, somebody's skill, somebody's job that they're good at and try and hinder you from doing it, and it wouldn't have hindered Rich Paul. Rich Paul's got a lot of money. He would have just gone online, gone to, you know, Southern New Hampshire or something like that, going to DeVry and just picked up a quick, you know, not saying that that's easy to do for everyone that's out there that has done that. But when you're, it makes it a lot easier when, you know, you have Rich Paul money to just go and do an online course as opposed to, you know, trying to do an online course while working 6 or 7 different jobs, taking care of kids and all that other stuff. It's a lot easier to do when you have Rich Paul money. So, yeah, he probably would have gone back there, gotten his degree, boom, bang, boom, bang it out, come in. Hey, here's the piece of paper that you guys somehow wanted me to have because that's going to make me, you know, a legitimate agent. It has nothing to do with the, you know, several dozen NBA players that I'm, you know, representing. Big name NBA players that I'm representing. Absolutely ridiculous. And that's the thing that bugged me about it. Like, I took some time to talk about this Rich Paul stuff because there's definitely a racial aspect to it. They don't like Rich Paul because of, you know, the fact that he doesn't, you know, quote unquote, fit the mold, of an NBA agent. But the numbers don't lie. John Wall, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, Tristan Thompson, Eric Bledsoe, Ben Simmons, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, J.R. Smith, so many huge names, Markieff Morrison, Miles Bridges, Trey Lyles, Corey Joseph, Jordan Clarkson, guys that are in the NBA, guys that are solidly in the NBA, 19 NBA players, 4 All-Stars, 2 maxed out players, ridiculous. But because he doesn't have a college degree, he's not qualified. I have a college degree. That doesn't make me qualified to be an agent. There are probably guys that have college degrees that aren't qualified to be an agent, and they're agents anyway. So, I mean, the whole Rich Paul thing, the whole Rich Paul situation is just stupid, and it's really sad. It is. It's sad that the NCAA felt like, because this guy was coming in and thriving in a way that they didn't like, that they went ahead and made a rule just to stop it. And then thank God for social media, because the backlash was swift. The backlash with the NCAA was swift, bro. They got hit hard to the point where they had to change it. I don't think that rule was in effect for a week. It might have been like 10 days. And the backlash was so much that the NCAA had to change it, because you can't put a hindrance like that specifically geared for a guy that, and the NCAA will say until they're blue in the face, oh, we weren't targeting anybody. BS. Don't give me that. You guys are targeting Rich Paul. You're targeting people that are like Rich Paul. You're targeting future agents that are going to come in and do the things that Rich Paul has done, because he has now created a template for guys that want to get into that position. So how do you break the template? Let's dig into Rich Paul and see what we can find. Oh, he never graduated from college. Boom, that's one right there. Like it was so poorly executed. It was so just reaching, and it was so NCAA. It was so NCAA. I don't know how they keep getting away with it, man. I really don't. I have no clue how they keep getting away with it. But I'm glad that Rich Paul, and I'm glad a lot of people came to Rich Paul's aid. I'm glad Rich Paul is there. I'm glad he's here in this space, because, I mean, he's worked his tail off for this. And I mean, set the template ahead for guys that can be the future Rich Paul. And the NCAA can't do a doggone thing about it. They can try, but they're going to get backlash again. They're going to get, oh, this is the Rich Paul rule all over again. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if NCAA tries to do something again. I would not be surprised because they've done it before. They're going to do it again. They're going to continue to do it again. They are going to continue to do things that are hindering everyone else but the NCAA. Unbelievable, man. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, guys, I am happy to close this latest edition of Degree of Difficulty with Aaron Johnson here. I'm really happy to get ready to close this stuff out. Quick announcement. So, like I said earlier on, I am going to go ahead and bang these three podcasts out. I got one today. Obviously, you know, you're listening to it. One tomorrow with a special guest and one on Friday closing out the week. And just letting you guys know, the guest for tomorrow is going to be writer, columnist, journalist Chris Ellsbury. Used to write for the Connecticut Post, and we're going to talk a little bit about Chris was there 30 years ago to the date. Well, not to the date, but 30 years ago to the summer. I'll say that 30 years ago to the season with the Trumbull Little Leaguers from 1989 that went on and won the whole Trumbull Little League World Series. Chris was there. He remembers covering that team. He traveled with the team, went down to Williamsport. I've known Chris for a couple years now. Used to work together when I was working at the newspaper. So Chris has graciously agreed to come on, and he's going to talk a little bit about 1989, because it was a crazy time. I believe the U.S. and Little League World Series hadn't won like an international championship in something like 20 years to that point. It was something crazy. Chinese Taipei had been like beating the bricks off of every team that the U.S. was sending over. And that team had like Chris Ellsbury. I'm sorry, not Chris Ellsbury. Chris Ellsbury's coming on. It had Chris Drury that went on to play in the NHL. I believe Chris Drury won at least one Stanley Cup with the Avalanche in Colorado, but had a lot of guys on that team, a lot of local kids on that team. So Chris is going to be coming on tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that podcast. Again, just going to close out the week on Friday. Probably going to talk a lot about the NFL preseason week two, which is starting up tomorrow as well. Holy cow, we're already at Thursday. Wednesday about to be Thursday. So yeah, going to talk a lot about that as well. Looking forward to that. Going to talk a little bit about my Jets. Please, nobody get hurt. And so that's how we're going to close out this week. Everything is looking good on my part. I hope you guys really like rocking with me as always. Make sure to, wherever you get your podcasts at, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, make sure to subscribe, share this, like it, rate it 5 stars, tell your friends about it, tell your dog about it, put your headphones on your cat. I don't care. Just let people listen to it. I really appreciate you guys rocking with me as always. This is Degree of Difficulty. My name is Aaron Johnson, and we'll be back tomorrow talking with Chris Ellsbury. Be on the lookout for that.